Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the experience of true spiritual identity found in real transformation and how everything else is mental energy. Listen as we explore the process in human development from sense to soul. In this show, we will focus on the difference between thinking and knowing, thought and idea, mental material and spiritual. When we look again at the raising of the Spirit of God within you, we see that we are witnessing the initiation, the illumination, the initiation known to the ancients. This is from Herb Fitch, Realization of Oneness, Class 14A. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live as the divine principle. So, the title of today's show is Personal Spirituality is a Gilded Notion. Well, let me ask you this question. What does personal spirituality look like to you?
Yeah, I've come to the realization, unless you are healing the sick, reforming the sinner, raising the dead, you do not know yourself spiritually. Without the realization of the one perfect divine life as the only life there is, you're living in the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And this idea of a gilded notion is what we call the lesser experiences, falsely identified as spiritual. One of the main components to this idea of transformation is that we must put off the old man. We must die to this personal sense of self and graduate to an impersonal spiritual sense of selfhood. And unless you really have some sort of methodology you're working with, chances are you haven't gone far enough with your understanding of this term. Again, one of the reasons why I always refer back to Christian Science, because Mary Baker Eddy is possibly the only one I know of that puts healing on the table. That gives you a litmus test, a way of proving what you're calling the divine principle is externalizing with the divine qualities.
So if you were to talk to somebody and maybe they think that they are spiritual or that they have the spirituality, what would be a good indicator to you if they are spiritual with a personal sense?
Well, again, for me, it always comes down to the message of the Christ. The only purpose for this existence on a human level is to glorify the Creator. In order for us to do that, we must know the Creator, and the Creator is absolute goodness. The Creator is eternal life, and anything else really does not have those divine qualities. Even, say, for example, sickness, suffering, disease, lack, limitations, these are not under the jurisdiction of the divine law. And therefore, what we've been saying is they're unreal. In order to accept yourself spiritually, you have to come out of the belief in these two powers. Unless you die to the false mortal sense of life and bury it in a tomb, the divine principle cannot appear in human consciousness. And without the divine spirit, There's no rebirth into the immortal spiritual self out from the material grave.
I like what you said earlier when you were talking about the gilded notion, and you said gilded notion is what we call the lesser experiences falsely identified as spiritual. So that to me sounds like we have to take a good look at ourselves and understand, am I doing this as a personal will or am I being guided by thy will? So I really think this is where we have to really stop and, like I said, take a good look at what is around us.
Right, because if you do anything on a personal level, first of all, you are identifying yourself as a separate entity. And if you do something at that level, you can do it for good or for bad. When you graduate to this spiritual identity through the process of transformation, where you have put off this false sense of self, then you are under the jurisdiction of the divine will. There is no personal sense in spiritual identity. And no matter what you do, it can only be done for absolute goodness. So again, consciousness is experience. You use your experiences as the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. What is appearing in your five material senses is what you are conscious of. Rather than trying to fix what's out there, you really start to change how you're thinking.
Swami, I know the Bible is full of stories of these characters. God has spoken to them and they know what they should do. How do we know if we get these insights of what we should be doing or saying? And how do we know that it's coming from spirit and not from our personal mentality?
Yeah, this is why you need a spiritual practice. Part of this path of knowledge in Kriya Yoga is you have to know the difference between thinking and knowing, the difference between thought and idea. Spirit operates in the absolute, and the mortal mind operates in duality. It's rational thinking. It gets all of its information from the five material senses, whereas divine mind gets all its information from the spiritual fact of being. As you come out of your personal sense of self and your thought is now purified, you have eliminated the influence that comes through the material senses, and you learn to cultivate your spiritual senses. This idea of the birth of Christ in consciousness, Christ being the saving aspect of truth. It is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. Now, once you are operating from this mind of Christ, then all you really do is you use the testimony of your senses to keep you on course. You can't be experiencing all of these non-spiritual qualities and be conscious of the divine creation. So that's what basically you want to start to work with. How am I thinking and what am I experiencing?
So we have a thought in our mind. You're saying that we have to really break that apart and say to ourselves, is this really coming from my personal sense of what I want and not what God wants?
Right. See, you have divine mind. It only knows divine truth. Now, when you are monitoring your thoughts, if a person, a place, a thing comes into your awareness, you have to know that it didn't come from divine mind. And so you treat it differently. It's an intruder. It's an imposter. And rather than reacting to it, you just kind of let it go. And at the same time, you learn to understand divine idea can occupy your thought. We start with silence and stillness. Silence is the language of spirit. Stillness is the activity of spirit. By replicating spirit in your conscious awareness, you invite divine mind into your consciousness. Then you watch, you wait, you let, you listen for this divine truth to reveal itself to you. Now, that will be very individual for you. But when you have this revelation, there'll be no doubt, because that truth will then illuminate your thought and it will guide you from within. It's those initial years of practice when we're still doing it with the mortal mind. We're working with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And so we have to practice, and we really have to go through this crucifixion of the body, resurrection of consciousness, and the ascension to spiritual identity. That's a process that has an evidence procedure.
Now, you said that no person, place, or thing in our thought could be from spirit. Why is that?
It's because the divine creation is purely spiritual. Spirit is invisible and intangible to corporeal sense. And so that gives you a paradigm, that gives you a template that you can work with. Until you learn to stop thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on duality, information that does appear in your material senses, the mental material universe that God did not create. And so in silence and stillness, we rest, we watch, and we listen for divine truth to reveal itself to us.
I was also thinking, we work a lot with this concept of oneness and not two-ness. So if we have person, places, or things in our mind, then we are definitely working with the idea of two-ness and not the oneness, right?
Yeah, when you graduate from that level of the many, like we say, we're still at a sense level of awareness. Spirit, like you say, is one, and it's indivisible. So even the idea I'm spiritual and you're not is not a possibility. Spirit is absolute, and to have that revelation is like what Jesus says, and if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. When you have the realization of spiritual reality, true spiritual reality, you do that for everyone. Everything that is appearing in your material senses is now converted and translated back to the one perfect divine life.
We had said in the opening we were going to talk about the experience of true spiritual identity found in real transformation. When would transformation not be real? How would we know the difference?
Well, I think for me, the way I interpret this is the Kriya Yoga concept of avidya. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. We're mistaking the false for the real. The idea of sin in the Bible, we're living in the wrong self. And it's very easy to do that. I mean, just read Revelations in the Bible, and it talks about looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. There's the dragon and two beasts. There are these modes of mortal thought. If you do not have the experience that is associated with the divine revelation, which I think the Bible gave us with the Christ. So again, coming back to what I said, if you're not healing the sick, reforming sinner, raising the dead, then my suggestion to you is to go back to the drawing board. If you cannot say to the proud wave thus far and it stops, what Mary Baker Eddy said in one of her teachings, felt ye the power of the word. These to me are the signposts that I would use. That's the evidence procedure that I would use for me to say I am transformed, that I have genuinely come out of the belief in two powers, the belief in mortality and matter, and now understand the allness, the omnipresence of the one perfect divine life.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Asana Class is a module fitting into the master plan, leading the practitioner to the experience of total consciousness by attuning the mind-body complex to the divine idea. A system of exercises designed to use the physical appearance to determine individual level of consciousness and degree of awareness. Starting with the process of lengthening and strengthening muscles to bring bones into the position of internal support. We educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, because when spirit is cause, it calls into expression the beauty of holiness, making creation perfect. Mountain pose may not bring you truth in consciousness, but truth in consciousness must bring mountain pose. Visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, just to summarize what we've been talking about, unless you initiate a process in human development and go through the levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness by putting off this false sense of existence and accepting spiritual identity, you are living in a mental image, which is a gilded notion about what is really omnipresent.
Yeah, I think it's a very common thing today that we think we're spiritual. We believe we can do this with the mind that can't bring forth the divine idea. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions in the spiritual communities today is this idea of mixing the mental material methods and processes with the spiritual. The misconception is you can do that. And in truth, the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one only when divine truth is the only consciousness. Because you can't have the false in the same scale as the real. Just like light dispels darkness, truth dispels error. Darkness isn't an opposing power to light, it's the absence of light. Truth and error have the same relationship. Error is not an opposing power to truth, it's the absence of truth. And in the light of spiritual truth, there is no error. There's no false sense of existence. There is no matter. Life is purely spiritual.
So I see we have something here from Mary Baker Eddy, and this is from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 535, lines 15 to 17, and I'll read it. When will man pass through the open gate of Christian Science into the heaven of soul, into the heritage of the firstborn among men? End of the quote. So my question to you is, well, I have several, but the first one is, what do we mean by the open gate?
Yeah, I really like using the Good Shepherd, where Jesus says, I am the door. And this door between mortality and immortality is the realization of the one perfect divine life, the omnipresent spirit. Realized in consciousness is the door. And that is what leads from sense to soul. And the other thing, I like what she said, what you just read, is the idea of the firstborn among men. See, the firstborn is the divine image and likeness. The secondborn is the form. So spirit in its entirety, the fullness of spiritual identity, is the identity of everything that appears in your senses. But they must be perceived from spiritual sense and not from material sense. Because the idea of, can the mind free itself from its own creation? The mortal mind is actually presenting the false picture. And that's why we stop thinking and we start knowing.
I have another question for you. When she talks about the open gate of Christian Science into the heaven of soul, what does that look like?
Yeah, see, that's when you've put off the old man and you are accepting spiritual identity. You have died to your false sense of existence, and you are now walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth.
That's when we no longer have this gilded notion of personal spirituality.
Well, you can do this with mortal imagination too. That's the problem. Now what you have to do is you have to test what it is that you're experiencing. Because if you do not have divine truth in consciousness and you're working with looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon, then you'll find that you do not have the same benefits that come with spiritual identity. And another thing that we've talked about here is you can't just rely on healing, because looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon can give the appearance. It does all the same works as the Christ. But it's not spiritual identity. You're not out of the belief in two powers. You're not under the jurisdiction of divine law. So you have to really stay with that.
I see we have something here from Herb Fitch. This is from Realization of Oneness, Class 14A. That kind of goes along with what we were talking about with the Mary Baker Eddy quote. And I'll read that. Paul's statement was in Colossians 1:13-15. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, again, coming back to this idea of the firstborn, what Herb has to say about Paul's statement, he continues and he says, the creature was Lazarus. The creature is you and me in mortal form. But the firstborn of us is Christ. The firstborn of us is our spiritual self. Our bodies physically are the secondborn. But he who can step out of the belief in a second born and accept himself to be the firstborn, the spirit, the Christ, the divine self, is not touched by the second death. Okay, again, another indicator here, the second death. The first death is birth, where we're dead to Christ. And the second death would be when the physical form expires.
I believe we have a soundbite from Herb Fitch as well that maybe we could play at this time.
Yeah, this is from Herb Fitch, Realization of Oneness, 14A. And before I play it, let's just give a little background on what Herb says earlier in the class. I'll read it. As you know, the world has seen this experience in the Bible as the raising of a dead man from a grave. That's a good way to veil the truth. Once you get a dead man raised from the grave, you're waiting for the Messiah to come and raise some others from the grave, waiting for the graves to open, and there aren't any graves to open, and there isn't any life in them. Life was never put in a grave. End of quote. And if anybody's interested in this soundbite, you can get the full audio file from mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
As we learn to do this, the Christing takes place. It is said in Paul that we reign with the Father for 1,000 years. That means you're going to live in the consciousness of life until you're past denying it. When no power on this earth to you is a power, when neither time nor space nor what they contain can influence you out of the knowledge that you are divine life, and that divine life omnipotently maintains perfection no matter what appears, then you will find your 1,000 years will be up. Your trial period, your ascension into the realm of soul will become a permanent ascension. When you deny yourself, it's these little human emotional grievances that we learn to deny, times we're irritated into being human. We have to deny these irritations. We have to deny the ego which wants us to be a human being. We have to rise above every human sense of discord, because it's all a mental attitude. It's all a mental hypnosis. It's all the world deceiver convincing us in some way or another that we're not the Son of God, that we're not the divine life. And maybe with Lazarus as a point of reference, you can remember that Lazarus too was once a human being. Lazarus had everything he needed as a human being, but it wasn't enough, and he knew it. He knew that without divine life, he was nothing. And he discovered divine life. Your discovery of divine life as your life is not enough. It must be lived in. It can be lived in. And only when you live in it does the Lazarus experience really have a meaning for you. Now, you may find that as you live in it, you're unconsciously educating quite a number of people around you. That's fine, because you're raising Lazarus in them. Your function always is to expand your circle of influence by being the light. Being the light. Recognizing the life everywhere. That's as far as you go. As long as you can know me as I am, as long as you can know your friends and neighbors and enemies as they are, you can go no further. To hold them in that light is holding yourself in the light. To let them out of the light is dropping yourself out of the light. You don't have to give them a lot of advice. Just hold them in the light of your consciousness. Let Christ do the work. You simply rest in oneness. And let oneness do the work. If you take offense, even then you are stepping out of the one self. We must be true to the one self more than we are true to human beings. And if we are true to the one self, that is the highest truth we can follow. That will be the truth of those who appear to us as mortal beings. My suggestion is that friends make an agreement with each other. Husband and wife make an agreement with each other. And it be that whenever I step out of the oneself, don't spare my feelings. Tell me right then. And don't care if I get angry. Tell me right then. That's love. That's a different kind of love than the love that says how sweet we are. It's the love that wants us to be what we are. Make that agreement with each other. You'll be grateful.
Yeah, unless you go through something very similar to the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly, chances are you're probably working with a mental concept about this divine truth. And so by being able to prove it and demonstrate it, because not all that glitters is gold.
Well, it is that time to start ending our show for the day, so listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. If you scroll down any of the pages, you'll see several buttons that you can click to further your development, as well as the Swami Says recent posts. And Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kri Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live as the divine principle. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.